This episode is brought to you by Hero Forge. There is no better gift for a gamer than a custom miniature of their beloved TTRPG character. So this holiday season, take the guesswork out of gift giving and treat your players to a digital gift card to Hero Forge. Hero Forge offers fully customizable tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from, all within your browser. You can make minis in a variety of materials, including premium unpainted plastic and color standees, and they even offer downloadable model files so you can 3D print your unique designs at home. And for the dice lovers in your party, never fear, Hero Forge has you covered with their custom dice, which lets you put your hero inside the very D20 that will help lead you to glory. Visit heroforge.com to send your players a digital gift card and let them build the heroes of their dreams.
Hello, and welcome to the Dice Pool.
Splash!
We are here in the Dice Pool to play a very special game. But first, we've got a very special guest on the mic with us today. Who's that special guest I see?
Who's that special guest?
Hello, it's me. I am Rowan McStay.
Yay!
They, them.
We love Rowan McStay, they, them. Rowan McStay is here to play Scurry with us. Rowan McStay, also part of Mage Hand High Five, which at the time of listening, you'll now know is part of the Many-Sided Network.
Woo-hoo!
Hell yeah.
So happy to be here.
We love it. We're very excited to play with you.
Unfortunately,
our friend Chinook is sick today, but I have Brian Flaherty and Abby Hepworth with me.
So hello.
Hi.
So today, gang, we're going to play Scurry, which this is the second time that we've played Scurry here in the Dice Pool.
Hey, Elliot, why are we gonna play a game that we've already played on the Dice Pool?
Yeah, what's up with
that? Oh my God, Brian, what a good question. I love that question.
Oh,
we're
God,
playing this
so
because for the brand new edition of Scurry, which is coming out soon and crowdfunded earlier this year, I wrote a little adventure for it. And
we're Elliot!
Yeah.
Adventure.
That's so fun.
Wow. Yeah, this is actually, it's like very fun, great, beautiful, full circle moment because Scurry was like, has been one of my favorite games since getting into indie RPGs and was one of the first non-D&D games I ran for my home game. So getting to have my name in the new book is pretty cool.
It is very
cool. Yeah, that's amazing.
It's very cool. The adventure we're going to play today is called Fangs, Steel, and Stolen Honor. I did not come up with that title. I do have to just like say for a second, that title is from Brian Tyrell, the creator of Scurry, and was way better than any of the ideas I had. But
I thought you were going to say we were playing an adventure called Fangs Giving.
Ooh, that's fun.
No,
that's the third.
And Abby,
Scurry.
You do actually have to log off now. Sorry. This is actually a very autumnal adventure. I know we're playing this in the beginnings of summer, but the vibes are very autumnal. And I sort of always see the vibes of Scurry as very autumnal, even though that is not part of the game. For those listeners who don't know, Scurry is a game about animals in the Scottish Highlands, in a post-humanity, or as the game refers to them, post-Titans Scottish Highlands. In the Scottish Highlands, they have a whole society, and you get to make cool little animals that have jobs. But let's not talk about the game. Let's do the game. How do you feel about that?
Let's do it.
Can't wait.
So without further ado, let's go ahead and start making our beasts.
Yeah.
Does everybody have a beast in mind, or do we want to kind of build them piece by piece?
I don't have a complete beast.
I've got like a thought, but I'm flexible.
Yeah, I've got vibes.
Let's go bit by bit. The first thing to pick with your beast is to pick their guild. So the guild is these working unions in the world of Scurry in the Bristly Woods. They are things like map makers and tanners and dough fellows or beaters. These are all the different jobs that your guy does in the Bristly Woods. Does anybody know right away what guild they'd like to be a part of?
I'm going either ore beater, who are beaters and benders of metal across their anvils, or wicker weaver, who are manipulators of soaked willow branches.
Ooh, I was genuinely considering exactly those two as well, although I'm super willing to pivot. Can I ask, what is like the overall vibe that you're going for so that we can complement each other.
So I was thinking either a hedgehog orb beater who makes armor for beasts that don't have armor themselves like he does.
Cute.
Or wicker weavers to be an otter who just like lives in the river and is always wicking stuff together.
Both are very cute.
I feel like I never really play fun. A like strong character. I always play a very weak character. So I think I might go the orb beater.
That's fun. Nope. Yeah.
Unless you were feeling very strongly about it. Also, we could both be orb beaters. We could be
That's true.
We could be running the same forge or competing forges.
We just all be orb beaters.
I think so. Maybe y'all can help me pick the right guild, because I think the overall energy that I'm trying to go for is mm-hmm. like a mouse tinkerer.
Ooh. Mm.
So I think Wicker Weaver would work.
I feel like that might be Wicker Weaver because it's
yeah.
I think that's kind of the energy that I have to like. I think they're just kind of always got their little grabby hands
also,
on things.
Your skill would be reform, which is alter the structure and function of a thing, which feels very tinkery to me.
That's so true.
We've got an orb eater and a wicker weaver. Abigail Hepworth, are you feeling drawn to a guild?
I'm thinking Noon Messenger.
Ooh, I did Noon Messenger last time. It was great.
Yeah, and I can recall is my skill, so I can easily recite messages, routes, and details. Help us if we get lost. And I think I'm going to be a bird, so it also feels thematically harmonious.
That's super fun.
Excellent. So we've got our guild. The next choice to make is three tools that your beast carries with them. The tools are on page 14 and 15. There's a lot of beautiful little art that you can use as inspiration. Or you can construct your own tools.
I really love the one that's just an acorn on a string. I kind of want to take that one.
Acorn on a string. Do what, with what that more could what you, need? You will.
That was your first invention.
Yeah. It's gorgeous.
Sometimes it's perfect. It's simple.
Why reinvent the wheel?
Yeah. Yeah. We're picking three each?
You get three tools each.
Okay. I'm going to take a glow worm.
Mm.
Cool.
I'm going to take a... Ooh, the scavenge extendable prodder.
I believe I had that last time and it was very fun.
That's a great
Someone
time.
Someone had it and it was great.
I might take a moth catching net.
Nice.
Nice. Abby, what are you feeling?
I'm going to take the messenger tube again. Feels like it was made for me. And then one that's not on here, but that I'm going to do is goggles. So that and they have a steampunk vibe.
steampunk bird.
So that when she's flying to deliver messages and whatnot, inclement weather will not stop her.
That's so cute. Does she have a little scarf for like seasonal weather as well?
I feel like she might have like a poncho.
Yeah.
Because you can't have sleeves because the wings still need to get in on it. And so she's got like an aerodynamic poncho.
Absolutely.
Would you like the poncho to be one of your tools or is that just vibes?
Ooh.
It can just be vibes.
I think that's just vibes because I feel like the goggles, it's like assisting me in seeing where you may not otherwise be able to.
Right.
So it's like a tool.
I'm now really just seeing you like landing and with the poncho, but you're like the Clint Eastwood man with no name from Fistful of Dollars. Toss it over your shoulder. You got your six shooters.
Yeah. Yeah. I also have six guns.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Six guns.
Yes.
Not a six shooter.
No. Guns.
Six guns. Space shooters.
Six,
yeah.
Six one bullet guns.
It's just that scene from Boondock Saints. What if it was one guy with six guns?
Yeah. No, I don't have a gun. Or six of them. I'm thinking on my third.
Elliot, would it be possible to have some kind of adhesive?
Oh, I would love it if you had some kind of adhesive.
Like maybe some tree sap, like maybe like a bottle of tree sap.
Sure. I love that. Bottle of sticky tree sap is what I'm writing down.
Can I have like a I was going to say nail file, but actually I see flint and steel striker. No, I kind of want a nail file. I want a thing that like takes the edges off stuff.
Hey, just something to take the edge off.
Just something to take the edge off.
That's what the glue's for, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have very different approaches.
We all have our thing.
Yeah, my guy is a orbiter blacksmith, but has fabulous nails.
Fabulous nails.
That's wonderful.
Abigail, one more tool for you.
I think my last tool is going to be, you know, I'm going to actually flavor it. I'm going to pick a tool from here and just like spin it a little bit, but I'm going to pick paint.
Paint.
The intention is that like you can quickly whip up a message like a marker. But I just there.
Do you want it to be a marker?
No, I think are pretty. And I think that she's very into calligraphy, but she can do it really fast. I'll say calligraphy paint. Classic real life thing.
As you do. You're a bird. You've got a built-in quill.
We got our guild. We got our tools. Now we get to pick three talents.
We don't get three, do we? We just get one, right?
It says practice three talents.
Three? That's so many.
To be clear, talents are oddly specific areas of expertise. They don't represent your beast's total knowledge, just the things most relevant to the scurry they have practiced or have a knack for. Talents include things like bug keeping, being long, getting small, orientating.
All right, I definitely got to take getting small if I'm a hedgehog.
Being nice. Long is so fun. Is there one that's sort of like being an absolute unit? Like, I kind of want to...
like being an absolute unit.
Just being a fucking wall.
I think I want her to be like hard to move.
I'm going to be so real with you. We can just... that's one of your talents is being an absolute unit.
Great.
What happens when a unit comes up against an absolute unit?
The absolute unit destroys it.
The unit gets wrecked.
So we've got, Brian, one of yours is getting small. Rowan, one of yours is being an absolute unit. Abby, any thoughts on a talent? And Brian and Rowan, think of two others.
My first one, I'm going to go with a real practical of pathfinding.
I'm also going to take singing. I think he sings while he works.
Love that.
Is he good at singing?
It's so sweet.
We'll find out when we play. We're going to play to find out.
A joyful noise. I think I want like food sniffing, like the ability to sniff out food.
I'm writing food sniffing.
There's one on here that says making friends. I want to slightly pivot that. I think I want it
making
to be...
enemies.
No. I think I want it to be gaining clients.
Love.
Gaining clients, specifically
what,
procuring
what do I
got
to do to
clients.
Get you in a suit of armor today?
What do I got to get you in a suit of armor?
Networking.
Let me tell you, I got a great ore for you. You're going to look great in steel.
No, you're a chainmail kind of a raccoon.
Abby, you got a second talent? Is there something you'd like to be able to do? You don't have to necessarily give it a good word. We can kind of think on it.
Everything I'm thinking of is so practical, and I want to pick something dumb and fun. Like being long, but I don't think that's it.
you're a bird?
I'm a bird, baby.
I'm like
being
a bird.
Flighty.
No.
You could be like really beautiful in a distracting way.
Oh yeah.
Really beautiful.
You're so pretty.
It's a detriment.
You're like, what's the really fuckable bird? Secretary Bird.
No, we're not talking about this on mic.
No,
we've already done.
We've already talked about it on mic.
I think it's already out in the world.
Do you know what's really funny? Is that we had this discussion about the Secretary Bird, and I have a wall calendar, and each month is a new bird. And last month, it was the Secretary Bird.
I mean, why do you think I bought you the calendar?
I bought me that calendar. I'm an independent woman. Yeah, I feel like that's funny. Even when she's like wind ravaged, she's just like distractingly beautiful.
My
she's
God, she's
gorgeous.
Stunning.
I like really
she's
beautiful in
gorgeous.
A distracting way. I think that's fun.
Just look at that plumage.
Whoa. I've never seen anything like
that. Part of the reason she wears the poncho is she's trying to tone it down.
And it's just working too well on her.
It's just no one pulls off a poncho like she does.
But can you imagine her in half plate? My God.
Step into my office.
So we have two traits for each of you, two talents for each of you. We need one more from each. Or actually, sorry, Brian, you have gaining clients. We need one more from Rowan and one more from Abby.
I think perhaps climbing.
Climbing's good. And Abby, what's this hot bird know how to do?
Really good at pathfinding, at being beautiful.
In a distracting way.
In a distracting way. She also has impeccable penmanship.
Hell yeah. I'm wanting to portmanteau those words, but I don't think I can.
Impenmical? No. It's too much.
Ooh.
It's too much. Anyway, the final decision to make about your beast before we give them a name is what kind of beast are you, and therefore what three traits do you exhibit? This is on pages 18 and 19. You can choose from any of these beasts here, or you can make a different animal and give them three traits that you define on your own.
I already said mine. I'm going Hedgehog, who has spines, needle fangs, and defensive curl.
Mm.
Hedgehog.
And those are the traits, the spine, needle fang, right?
Yep, those are your three traits, yep.
I am playing a mouse who has grabby hands, poison wary senses, and soft fur.
Soft fur, nice. Abigail?
I'm playing a bird, and I tried to look up birds that are native to the Scottish Highlands, and then I got very intimidated that I don't know anything about these birds, and a listener may be angry when I misrepresent the specific type of bird. So we're just going with like a house sparrow. She's when I say the word bird, whatever pops into your head, that's beautiful. The bird. When I say beautiful bird.
Mm.
And so I'm pulling from a couple of the different birds in the book, different traits, but I'm going with soaring flight, seed spotting sight, and delicate talons.
Oh, I thought maybe you were going to cherry pick to have three rhyming ones.
I didn't realize they rhymed until I started saying them out loud, and then I got really mad at myself for not being able to come up with third.
What were they? Soaring
flight, seed spotting sight, and keeping it tight.
Yeah.
Keeping it tight, girl.
With delicate
talons.
Yeah,
I'm actually a 83-year-old bird, but damn, do I look young and good.
All of the young birds go to you like, hey, honey, what's it going? And then you go, hey, good looking.
Hey. I could be your grandmother.
What's a young whippersnapper like you doing in a nest like this?
I'm Yzma.
Pull the lever, Crunk. All right, great. The last step is to give your beasts a name and pronouns. And let me know when you're ready with those, and we'll do a little quick round of introductions.
My name is Posthumus McSorley.
Posthumus McSorley.
Yeah.
All right.
He, him.
Yeah, right. Posthumus McSorley.
I found the word posthumous, and I was like, man, that has a good mouthfeel today for whatever reason.
Okay.
Actually, do you know where this came from? Was one of my favorite jokes in all of media is, whoa, this is a deep cut. It's on Winnie the Pooh, The Blustery Day.
Wow.
And it's, what a pull. It's Piglet introducing, like showing off his house. And it says, yeah, this belonged to my father. And points to a sign that says trespassers will. And it's a cutoff sign that originally said trespassers will be shot. Yeah, Trespassers Will, short for Trespassers William. And I didn't get that joke good until I was much older, and I think it's so funny.
So, Posthumus,
Posthumus McSorley.
Yes.
Abby or Rowan, you ready with a name?
Yeah, all right. So I think I'm going to play Thistle. Let's go she, they, and... She is a mouse, but she looks like a rat because she's an absolute unit.
Nice. She's thick.
She's thick.
Oh, love that. Love the accent also.
I'm ready.
Very stoked.
Mouse, but thick.
Mouse,
but thick.
Sorry, what was thick. The last name again?
No last name. Mononym.
There isn't one. Just Thistle. She might have had a last name at one point.
Everyone knows Thistle when they see her.
Absolutely. Especially from the back.
Back it up, Thistle.
Thistle. We are a hot crew, man.
The hot crew.
This feels stupid, but I'm doing it. I also have no last name. I'm just going with Nessie.
No fun.
Nessie. Pronoun check.
She, her.
She, her. So we've got Posthumus McSorley, Thistle, the absolute unit, and Nessie.
I've really got to figure out a voice, but when I say the name Posthumus, all I want to do is, well, my name's Posthumus McSorley. And I can't.
And
I can't.
And
do
you
it
can.
Again.
Absolutely can.
I can.
You can, Brian.
I can't
the
be.
People are clamoring for it.
I can't be a one note player.
Not with that attitude.
It's either that or it. I pretty much wind up into Foghorn Leghorn or Dick Whiskey.
Yes.
Basically the only characters I play.
Come on, guys.
Oh my God. I'm
just trying to get
armor.
Back to zero, man.
Oh, man.
What if he's like stuffy and British? Posthumus McSorley feels a bit like
Posthumus McSorley.
Posthumus McSorley.
You know what I mean?
There you go.
It does feel like it wants to be a very breathy voice.
Yes, my name is Posthumus McSorley, and I've been making armor for a very long time.
Good man, what do I have to do to get you in a suit of armor today?
Good man.
Just Sean Connery.
I could certainly not do it. Sean Connery. Connery.
Can you keep
or
it up for
just
a full
do
game?
Austin Powers.
Austin Powers.
It's true.
Posthumous, baby.
I'm going to find it and play.
Brian and Abby, I know you've played Scurry before. Rowan, have you played Scurry, or is this the first time for you?
This is the first time around the old oak tree.
Hell yeah. So let's do a quick little refresher on the mechanics of this game. They're real simple, real juicy, real fun. So the way that Scurry works, it is called the game that gathers speed because the main mechanic is the shrinking Scurry die. So you all will use the same die to play. We're remote, so you're going to each use your own dice, but everybody's die will be at the same size throughout play, and it will shrink as the adventure goes on. We will start at a D12, and it'll move down to a D4. Why and when does that happen? I will be tracking a 4-section clock for each die size. That die will get filled whenever you have a complication or a hijinks. A hijinks is a 1 on the die. That is the worst it can go. Something goes hilariously wrong and chaos ensues. A complication is a 2-3. You pull it off, but there's a complication. And then 4+ is always a success. So when you're using the D12, you're on easy street, baby. It's easy to get a 4+ on a 12-sided die, but it gets gradually harder as the die shrinks, and thus represents the adventure getting faster and tighter and consequences getting heavier. Depending on where our Scurry ends, what size the die is, will determine what kind of ending we have. The higher the die size, the better. If we get to a D4 and the clock on the D4 gets filled, something awful happens, which is a catastrophic failure of the adventure. Whenever I ask you to roll, I will just ask one person to roll, and you will just roll the Scurry die once, unless you are using one of the things we made in character creation. The ways that you can modify a roll so that you're doing more than just the one Scurry die, you can modify your roll in 4 ways. Using tags, this is any of the tags on your character sheet. If you can convince me they'd be a part of the solution, you roll the Scurry die twice. There are some exceptions to this. With skills, the first time you use your skill, this is the thing associated with your guild, it's an automatic success. For the rest of it, you use it like you'd use any other tag. So you get 1 auto success if you're using your skill. After that, it's the same as just using any other tag.
But it's first time only. You can't like pick which time.
First time only, correct.
Okay.
If you're using tools, the only caveat with them is that they have a narratively sensible supply. So, Abby, if you're like, I'm going to paint an entire tree, I'd be like, your paints are gone now.
That is tough but fair. Okay.
Tough but fair. Hey, I'm tough but
fair. I'd say that's tough but bullshit.
The final way that you can sort of augment your abilities throughout play is that you can use guts. Using guts means that you can describe a flashback to a previous event that gives you exactly what you need in the moment at hand. You get a success, but we mark 2 progress on whatever clock we're on. And those clocks are pretty small at only 4 segments each. So using guts does help, it is a hefty cost.
Yucky.
Yeah. Any questions? Mechanically.
Mechanically.
Mechanically, do you have any questions?
Is it too late to change my name to Mechanically?
Mechanically, pretty good name.
It might be her last name. Nessie Mechanically.
Nessie Mechanically, at your service. And Rowan, as our first time scurrier, any mechanical hiccups in what I just explained, or you feel all right?
I don't think so. We'll kind of know where the progress clock is at any given time, right?
You'll know because I will just announce when I'm filling it in, and then you will know when I tell you that now you're rolling a smaller die. So
great. Okay.
Yeah. So I won't be like, hey, we're filling out the 3rd of 4. I'll just say I'm filling out the clock again, unless I want to be dramatic and make you sweat.
Great.
We love drama.
Isn't there a thing that like, if I remember a thing from the first time we played this, that like you'd fill in a part of the clock if we were being too cautious or we were like, taking too long?
Oh, yeah, there is a thing about that. So what I'm told from the game is mark progress when a hijinks or complication is rolled. That's a 2-3 or a 1 on the die. A milestone is reached. So when you get to like a certain step in the adventure, the beasts hesitate
or something bad happens. So it is largely at my discretion. So yeah, if you guys are lollygagging, I will just be like, I'm going to mark the clock.
God, I love that word.
Lollygagging? Yeah. Everybody feeling good?
Indeed. Everybody loves hot dogs.
Yeah. I'm sorry. What?
Everybody, Brian, everybody loves hot dogs.
Everybody loves very dog. Clear to me.
Yeah.
No, you can't all be on the same. You guys can't all be on the same page that quick.
Sorry, what's weird?
I'm sorry. You've chosen the wrong side of the bit to join.
I don't understand.
This is where the war begins.
I don't know. Confusing about this what seems just happened.
Like really obvious. Actually.
Yeah, it's actually just like everybody loves hot dogs. So
this is going to color the whole session.
Oh yeah.
None of you get armor.
None of you get armor.
None of you are getting
you
armor.
You refuse to arm us. You keep trying to get me to switch to chainmail poncho.
It's just better. It just is.
It's going to weigh me down.
It's just better. I don't know. I'm going to figure it out. It's whatever happens in the moment. The first time the character speaks is the voice.
All right.
Real quick before we jump into play, a quick safety tools check-in. I know that all of us have played together before in various combinations, but this is Rowan's first time in the dice pool. So we always Splash. Use the X card on Mike. Thank you, Abby. We always use the X card on Mike, which is just if something happens that you're uncomfortable with, toss a little X in the chat or just pop up the X arms. That's always fun. Or just say, I'm going to X that, which is how it usually gets used on this show. and then we always have lines and veils. Our standard lines are always, you know, racism, transphobia, homophobia. We never are going to touch things like sexual assault or genocide or things like that. So if there's anybody would like to add anything vocally on mic, otherwise we can go ahead and dive in.
I trust you, Elliot.
And that's your first mistake.
X card.
X card.
I'm just going to X card Elliot.
Elliot, the man.
And then I disappear from reality. Quick side note, we've been joking about getting roommate tattoos as an apartment, and one of the ones we had was everybody gets a different X card that we just tap whenever we want somebody to
stop.
Oh my
god, that's actually really
it's
fun.
It's a good bit.
It's very funny.
I really dig that. Ugh.
I think it'd be fun. We open on the dense town, and it is a town, though if anything could be called a city in the Bristly Woods, it would be the town of Hollowton. Hollowton is a dense community made in and around the hollowed cores of old oak trees on the edge of the artery boughs. This fine, blustery morning, you can feel that chill autumnal wind bristle through your fur and bristle through your feathers and bristle through your quills. It is that first chill autumn morning that most years means the start of the autumnal festival. You expect to start smelling the first whiffs of apple pies from the Dough Fellows. You expect to see kids starting to put on their costumes for the festivities later. The parade is supposed to be getting ready, but not today. Today, there is a much more apocalyptic fervor spreading through the town.
Oh, no.
You remember just before sunrise this morning as the warning bells rang out across the town. Ding, 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 ding. That signal a full evacuation of the city. Something that hasn't been seen in Hollowton since a great breaking of a dam that you heard about generations ago, but nothing that you've ever lived to see. And word has begun to spread across town that the city is in danger because of two great titans, the lupine sovereign Landrix and the bear king Borin, are said to be marching to this exact location to wage a great duel. Borin, the bear king, ever prideful, has been accused by the lupine sovereign of stealing their ceremonial ancestral necklace, and Borin took this as a challenge and challenged the sovereign to a duel at the exact midpoint between their far north and far southern kingdoms. And that exact midpoint, unfortunately for the tiny beasts of Hollowton, is the very center of Hollowton.
They didn't look at a map. They didn't discuss any of this.
What you know of the Lupine Sovereign and the Bear King is that these are such great titans that they are living a very different life than you. They're not concerned with the troubles or frankly the lives of smaller beasts. They live
They live this large feudal kingdom. They're in Game of Thrones, and you guys are in, you know, Wind Beneath the Willows or Wind Through the Willows, whatever that's called.
Sure.
They're living in a very different TV show, the two of them. But you guys got word from a local news teller, Trist Duncan, that she knows what may be really happening here and might know a way to stop the duel. And she's asked you to meet her. What do our fine little beasts here look like as you guys venture through the city and through the fervor all around you towards Trist's office?
I'll go and describe Posthumus McSorley. Posthumus McSorley is a grizzled and gruff graying hedgehog. Very sharp pointy quills all along his back. And he is of the Orbeater's Guild, so he has these like thick, you know, chonky, rippling muscles from just a lifetime of hammering out armor and plate for all manner of animal not gifted by nature with a defensive mechanism such as his.
Oh, what a sweetheart.
Posthumus, let me ask you, does someone you care for's home lie in the path of destruction that is on your mind this morning?
I think my elderly mother's home is attached to the forge.
Mama McSorley.
Mama McSorley.
She is feisty and she is refusing to leave her home.
Oh no.
She's very strong-headed and strong-willed, but she built that forge brick by brick, and she'll be goddamned if she lets anyone knock it down.
Hell yeah.
Valid.
I imagine Mama McSorley is jacked.
She is jacked, but very like, you know what? She looks exactly like the femme version of, oh my God, who's the guy that just played Odysseus?
Ralph Fiennes.
Of Ralph Fiennes as Odysseus, who was just like, he described to his trainer he wanted to look like a pile of knotted rope. And
wow.
She has a very tough time getting around, though. Her legs are kind of giving out from under. She's sitting in a rocking chair in front of the forge with a Goliath sword on her lap, drinking a pot of tea, and just waiting for this bear and wolf to come. Now I'm kind of thinking I should have played her.
yeah, she sounds fucking sick.
She sounds awesome. Like,
we should remember her for next time.
Yeah, we'll come get her.
She rules.
And we pull out of Mom McSorley and we rejoin our beasts. Thistle or Nessie, would you like to go next?
Nessie McAnackley is just the most beautiful bird you've ever seen, despite the fact that she does not really care for her feathers. They're that really annoying thing where like your hair is like tousled and undone, but it actually looks better than it ever could have had you put effort in. It's the worst.
The people that are, their hair is perfect and they're like, I don't even use shampoo.
Yeah, I didn't brush it this morning. And I'm like, sure, same.
Just woke up like this.
You didn't have to say that. you could have said nothing. Everyone would have been happier.
But she is, I mean, everyone's in such a fervor that they're really not paying much attention to her, although she is getting a bunch of like second, you know, whiplash, people like doing a double take looking at her. But she is also wearing her poncho that is like a very dirty gray, very lightweight, but you know, to protect her from the elements, and her goggles. And she's using her like pathfinding skills to sort of very quickly dodge all of the people who are going in the opposite direction to make her way through the city.
Nessie, have you ever witnessed the Bear King or the Lupine Sovereign or heard tale of them before?
Ooh, I think Nessie has heard tale of both, but she has actually seen the Bear King at a distance, but delivering a message through the woods at some point, she found herself soaring high above a bear council. And she made sure to keep her distance.
And Nessie, in that memory, you can't tell if it was just the fear of seeing something so large, but you swear that his head poked up above the treetops as he walked through and his feet shook the earth in a way that you could hear and feel even though you were flying above.
Yeah, he's a big motherfucker.
The big motherfucker.
We just had a whole conversation about you saying you didn't swear.
I thought I'd try it out. I don't know if I can do it.
I just wanted to try
In this episode, Abby tries swearing.
I might be too timid. Maybe that's a Nessie thing. She's trying to toughen herself up, but it's just not working.
The idea that Nessie's been trying to swear more is really sweet.
It's very fun. All right.
That's the thing. Nessie is kind of tired of being distractingly gorgeous, and she's been experimenting with different ways to make herself more off-putting. And foul language is the current method she's attempting.
I imagine you're one of those people who, as a child, you were like, oh, you said a cuss.
Yes. That's Nessie.
Somehow you said it, and it was just like, oh, you really don't know what you're talking about.
It just doesn't hit when I say it.
And sort of as you're making your way towards this meeting, you're recalling this memory, and in your memory, the warping of fear means that you get a last look of eye contact from this demonic bear that you've created in your memory beyond what he could possibly actually appear to be. But you shake it off. And last but not least, Thistle.
Hello. Thistle is, as described before, an absolute unit. She is a mouse, though. She's very soft. I imagine her as shaped sort of like an Andrew pear. Like, her front is quite narrow and pointy. And
I wasn't ready for that.
As you get farther back, it's just like she's so round. I can't express to you how much butt there is on this mouse.
She's got the Pixar mom build.
She's got the Pixar mom build. And as a matter of fact,
but a mouse.
Her husband, Seamus, is taking care of their children. And she sort of straps on a like bandolier, perhaps made by Posthumus, onto her shoulder and like a utility belt and like welder's glasses. And she's just got all kinds of like different bits of kit. And I think today she's prepared herself with an acorn on a string. You know, kind of loosely draped over her shoulder, a thing of glue. Let's say like a bottle of tree sap that's quite sticky on her side, like a holstered sort of gun.
Tree sap.
And a net over her shoulder, sticking out like an over shoulder sword. And she's just kind of kitted up like Batman as she walks out the door and leaves her husband making breakfast for the children.
Thistle, in your bag, what costume were you planning to wear to this year's festival? And might you still wear if the festival ends up being able to go off without a hitch?
Right. No, I think she's got like a pumpkin costume that's really nice and she wants to wear it. It's a bunch of like orange paint and like a wee like sort of hole in the top of the pump. She's like hollowed out a gourd, basically, so that her little arms... Like her little wee arms stick out through the sides, and she's got like a little hole in the top for her head.
I was gonna say, pear shape really maps to gourd quite well.
Yes, it does. Yes.
Yeah, I think she's hollowed out a little pumpkin, and she wants to walk around in her little gourd.
And I want it too.
Right. Like I think she's also made like a little jack-o'-lantern and has kitted out a bit of fire for the inside too, so that like there's this fire coming from like her heart and emanating outward out of this jack-o'-lantern. Her whiskers are a bit singed from the creation of this process.
They're used to it.
They're used to it.
Yeah, they're always like that.
You guys are all moving through the city, headed towards Triss Duncan's office. And kind of outside the great oak that you have to go up to get to the news teller's office, you see that there are these like two weasel twins that you kind of know. They're always running a new scam. They're called Bip and Bop. And they've got these big, long jackets, and they're holding them open to people. And they're like, the end is nigh, buy an anti-wolf charm. And the other brother's like, no, buy an anti-bear charm. And they're just kind of competing against each other, trying to sell anti-wolf, anti-bear gear to various frantic passerbys.
I'm just going to go up to them and pick them both up by the scruff and go, oh, what do you two think you're doing today?
Hey, buddy, we're just trying to make a quick buck. What's the problem?
What did I tell you about grabbing my extra scrap metal and trying to sell it as trinkets?
To ask first?
I'm going to take both of them and just kind of bang their heads together.
That sounds like a roll to me. Maybe our first roll.
So I'm rolling. We're starting at D12.
Starting at a D12. 4+ is a success.
12, baby.
Hell yeah.
Starting hot.
What is your intention? Just to like shake their gourd or knock them out?
To murder.
No, I think I'm just banding them together. These are like two miscreants that have been running around this town all the time.
They're just a nuisance.
They're a nuisance, but they're like they're good-hearted people that I'm trying to like set straight a little bit in a slightly patronizing fatherly way. And so I kind of bang their heads together and I go,
Oh.
And did you ask?
Wait, Bip, you asked, right? No, Bop, I thought you were going to ask.
No, they say in unison.
See, this is why you got to come and ask together, okay?
Okay.
If you're going to scam and swindle as a unit, you got to ask for permission as a unit.
Okay, Posthumus.
Lessons in teamwork.
I think it's real beautiful how he teaches the kids.
It's just, I appreciate that he, is a tough but fair with them.
Yeah, like tough but firm. Qualities of a good leader.
He's a good one, that Posthumus.
I'm just looking at the various trinkets that they have like done terrible welding jobs to make into little like, and I'm just looking at them, just like,
all right, just come by the shop later and I'll show you how to actually do a proper weld on this stuff, because this is garbage. You're selling garbage.
Actually, you mean Posthumus, I don't know that we're gonna have time for that. I think we just
right, impending apocalypse and stuff.
Is that actually like functional as an anti sort of wolf or bear trap though? Because that could be quite
the
useful.
Bip and Bop guarantee.
Right, so no, is what you're saying.
I don't know.
They just
that
both smile big, like sort of smarmy ferret smiles at you.
All right.
Oh, those two rascals.
And then they scurry off. Ha! That's the name of the game. So you guys head into this old oak, and you walk up the stairs to Triss Duncan's office. You see that there is a door, and there's like this whole oak is like a buzz with different beasts running up and down. Like a bunch of the news tellers around here have like filled their desks into little boxes that they're going to take with them, and they're trying to like report while packing to escape. And you see that there is a door with Triss Duncan written on it. She has her own office.
Nessie, is this where you work too? I know you're in the news.
I come up here like a lot, but I don't actually, this isn't like my office. But yes, I come here pretty frequently. You have to knock, but you have to knock a couple of times because sometimes she's kind of got her head like in her papers and stuff. So I'll just take care of it. And Nessie's got a, like a woodpecker sort of bang super repeatedly on the door with her face. Like,
you hear just like a, like crash around moving through. You hear stuff getting shuffled around. And then this little mole with thick, thick glasses opens the door and she says, hello, you got my message. Good, 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 good. Come in. And there's just paper strewn everywhere. And Trist has clearly not been packing to evacuate. Trist has been at her typewriter typing away. There is just about like 10 feet of, or 10 10 paws of paper just moving all around the room.
Trist is best friends with my mother. They're in a peanut club.
Oh my gosh.
She is. That she
neither
is.
Will abandon their post.
No. They're like, we've seen this before.
The news never sleeps. I respect it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Nessie, thank you for coming. You guys want to save the city?
Would love to.
I got a big scoop for you.
A scoop?
Happy to help.
All right, so I have it on good authority that old Landrix didn't have their necklace stolen by the bear. I hear they lost it while swimming in the lock.
They lost it?
Yes.
Who'd you
hear
it from?
Yes. Oh, Uncle Frederick, who lives over at the dam. Yes. He's always there fishing, and he said he saw the sovereign going for a swim, and when they went in, they had the necklace, and when they came out, oh, no necklace. Mm. Now, here's where things get interesting. Frederick saw the beavers take the necklace into the dam.
You don't say.
And you know the beavers, once they've got something in their dam, it's very hard to get out. But that's where you three come in.
Oh, they're stubborn motherfuckers.
Nessie,
look
geez.
At you. You've done it.
I'm testing it out. It's Trist knows. She's been helping me a little bit.
Yeah. See, you got to be a little more natural about it. Like, here's the fucking thing.
Oh.
It can't feel like the most important word in your sentence. You've got to sort of pepper it in. Like, you've got to kind of slide over it. Otherwise,
exactly.
They'll think you're doing
you
it for
right
the first
past
time.
It.
Oh,
right. Yeah. Right.
But it'll still have, like, impact. It's still going
to
cut through.
Yeah, you just throw it away. I'll have more impact, arguably.
You know, salt?
Yeah.
It's like that.
Oh.
You know, brings out.
Like, this is more. The sharpest blade is the one you don't feel, you know?
Okay.
True.
Sure, so the beavers
have really
it.
Haunting analogy, Posthumus.
I'm mostly
Nessie scoots away from
analogies.
Posthumus a little bit, where she's just sort of like bouncing around the room like, we're just going to come over here.
So here's the deal. You are going to go get the necklace back, bring it back here, and stop the feud, stop the duel. But I don't want you to be too quick about it, all right? I want a good story here. I want a last-minute rescue. I want you to come in right before 30 seconds to midnight and save the day.
Trist, come on. Every time there's a near apocalypse, you do this. You say, we got to wait till the last
Posthumus,
minute.
Think of the headline. Think of the drawing on the front page.
Hey, lads, I think what we can do is basically like get it within the first hour or so, and then we can just come back and just chill outside of town for like 8 hours while we wait.
Perfect.
But everyone's going to have to evacuate still.
Right. Yes, they do have to do that. Well, you know, a lot of people around here are stubborn. We've got the non-evacuation crew. We've got the evacuation crew. Anyway, none of that's important. As you all know, the beavers have a strict procedure for any changes to the dam, requiring days of bureaucratic planning and testing. So, you know, there's no time to explain to them. You just got to heist it. You got to steal the necklace.
A heist?
That sounds like a good time.
And that is all for this preview of our bonus episode of Scurry. To hear the rest of this episode of Scurry and to get access to the rest of this mini-season, head on over to patreon.com/manysidedmedia and become a member of the Dice Pool. To get access to cast talkbacks for My First Dungeon, bonus roundtables for Talk at the Table, and dozens of hours of bonus actual plays. We've got a lot of fun stuff over there, so head on over and check it out if you like what you've been hearing. And if you want to bring Scurry to your own table, head on over to stoutstoat.co.uk to grab a copy.
You like us. You really like us. At least, I assume that you do, as you've listened to every minute of this episode. And yet you haven't already left us a 5-star review? Ugh. Well, what are you waiting for? Get over to Spotify or Apple Podcasts and leave that review now. It's always wonderful to hear words from our adoring fans. Getting more ratings helps people find the show and love it as well. And we love to hear your nice words. So head over to Spotify and Apple Podcasts and leave us that 5-star review. Ta-ta!